Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, this is Brother Dale Well, and welcome to another Bible 101. In light of recent things going on here in Baltimore, you know, it's been a month since Mr. Freddie Gray then passed away. You had the riots and all this stuff going on. One of the things that people often say or think is that we are a cursed people. And given the state of our community and the way things go, sometimes like we never quote unquote have any luck, so to speak. It would seem that way. But you know, we have to examine the things we do and what's going on, and we have to look at the whole picture before we come to a conclusion. You know? So I want to start off in Matthew chapter 24 at verse 3. And it reads, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Yahushua answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, a lot of times we just read over that and, you know, we say, well, that's a really strange answer to the question that was asked, you know, being as though they ask what's going to be the sign of your coming and the end of the world and when are things going to take place, certain things are going to take place. The very first thing is that he says, take heed that no man deceive you. And like I said, we glance over it sometimes, but that is the very first thing that he tells you. That's one of the signs that he's going to be coming soon. That there's going to be a lot of deception in the world, and especially in the people that are supposedly following him. His disciples, his people, the people that are supposed to be students of the Messiah. The first thing that we have to do is make sure nobody deceives us. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah. I am Messiah, and shall deceive many. And, you know, we saw that happen. You know, with that literally happened with people like Ben-Amin and the dude down in Florida, Yahweh Ben-Yahweh, him. You know, we see that happen, people calling themselves the Messiah. We want to jump down to verse 11. And it says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Again, it's talking about deception. Now, it's not all talking about deception, you know, but that's the first thing that he says. Is that make sure nobody deceives you. So, are we a cursed people? Because a lot of people believe that we truly are. And that this is just our fate, and this is just, it is what it is what, you know, the quote of the day is, so to speak. It is what it is. This is just our lot. You know, but let's look at some stuff. Let's see what the word of Yahweh says. And we're going to look into some of the prophets, mainly the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah. We're really going to concentrate on Jeremiah. But one thing that Isaiah says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 22, starting at verse 22. It reads, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou has been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. So right now, and it starts off with the word but. If you want to read what goes on before that, he's making a comparison with Israel and some other things. Now, you can, at your own time, read the stuff before that, you know, and read the stuff before that. Very interesting stuff going on when you get to the word but, and he starts talking about Israel. All right. Now, he says, you're wearying yourself. You're weary of me, Israel. God is the Most High, Yahweh, has become a bother to Israel. At this time, when Isaiah is talking, and these are the words of the Most High, he says, you have not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offering. We're supposed to burn the firstlings of the flock. So they're not even getting the sacrifice right. They're starting to do whatever it is they want to do. Because there were instructions given as far as sacrifice goes. The firstlings of these cattle were supposed to be brought to him. He said, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. The sacrificial system was installed to get us back right with the Most High, because we fell out of line with him, for lack of a better term. We did something wrong, and we feel sorrowful, and we want to repent and get and back in right standings with the Most High. It wasn't done just because, oh man, now I gotta burn a candle to the Most High. Shoot, give them this old wore down cattle, this one that's been worked forever. He's about to die anyway. No, you give him that first one like he told you. You do the things that he asks of you. That he that And it's a ask, but it's also a command. You know? He's asking us these things as from a father-son perspective, father-child perspective. But it's also a command as a letting you know who's in charge perspective. You know? The same is no different than, you know, for those of us who have kids. We ask our child to do something, but it's a command for them to do it. We're giving them some reverence and some honor and saying, would you please do this? And, you know, we're showing them different things. We're showing them about respect and how to go about and treat people in a correct manner and how to speak to people in a correct manner. But it's a command for them to do it. As a parent to your child. And that's what's happening with the Most High. He said, you're not honoring me with your sacrifices. You're just doing this because you think it'll get you back in right standings. In the book of Hebrews, it says, hey, you can kill all the bulls and oxes you want. Get all the blood of the bulls and oxes you want. It never made us right with the Most High. Never. He said, the blood of bulls and oxes never put you back in right standards with the Most High. Where it says, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor worried thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. You understand what he's saying? You putting a burden on me because you're sacrificing stuff that's supposed to put us back in line and communion together, but you ain't really mean it. You're into a ritualistic fashion where your heart is far from me. Like the words say, you honor me, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, is written. This is something that Israel just thought should be done. I have to do this. I'm in wrong standards. I have to do this. It's not done out of love or wanting to be in the right standings with the Most High. Our intentions were wrong. Israel's intentions were wrong. Verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. I do this for you, Israel. I'm the one that do this. You don't blot out your own sins. These sacrifices don't blot out your sins. I do that. So when you coming forth with these animals to cut up and burn up and this, that, and another, that's all you're doing is burning up these animals. Because I'm the one that blots out these transgressions. I'm the one that don't remember your sins. That's my seed of forgetfulness that I throw them in. As the word says. He has that option. Okay? Verse 26. put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou might be justified. Remember me. Turn back to me, Israel. Turn back to me. Let's talk. Let us plead together. Let's talk to one another. Let's have a sit down about what you did wrong in my eyes so we can get back on the right path. Because I'll forgive you if you just ask. I'll forgive you when your intentions are right. I'll forgive you. But let's talk to one another. Me and you, Father the Son. Greater with the lesser. Let's talk to one another and get this thing right. So you can be justified in my sight. Because that's whose sight you need to be justified, not your own. You know? When you sit up there and you kill these animals, and you think you're doing a good thing, that's all you're doing is killing those animals. You're not justified in my sight. Especially when your heart says, well, I'm going to kill this animal today and I'm going to sin tomorrow. How will you justify in the Most High's sight? He says, verse 27, thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. So you have the teachers, or, you know, if you look up, the word teaches in the Hebrew section, number 3887. This word is lutz, and it means properly to make mouths at, that is, to scoff. Hence, from the effort to pronounce a foreign language, to interpret, or generally to intercede. So, your interpreters, or the people who are interceding on your behalf, has transgressed against me. And we're going to see some of that in the book of Jeremiah when we go there. But you have the first father who sinned against him, and the teachers had transgressed against me. So nothing has changed. People are interpreting his word incorrectly. So it causes the curse to continue. It causes us to be in that state, that cursed state. All right. Verse 28. Therefore, I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. So Jacob was given up to a curse. He was given up. Now, that word curse means a thing devoted. That's a whole nother word for the, that word is actually karem, is in the Hebrew section number 272764, and it means a net, physically, as shutting in a net, usually a doomed object, abstractly extermination. So that's what he's giving up. That's what Jacob was giving up to. A snare. Okay? And Israel was given up to reproaches. All right. But because things aren't being interpreted right, the teachers are not interpreting things right. Because people are following, and as the word says, in the book of Kings, how each king followed in the sins of their father. They never broke the chain. Well, not never, excuse me, let me take that back. Very few broke the chain of following within the sins of their father. Whatever their father did, they did. They just kept it going. Israel remained in a cursed state. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 11, verse 1. And it reads, "The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say thou unto them, Thus saith Yahweh, Mighty One of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant." This word, cursed. In your Hebrews section, number 779, that word is arah, and it means to extricate. So you're under the curse if you don't obey the words of this covenant. Verse 4, "Which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt." Now, this is a long time after that. You're talking maybe probably close to 1,000 years. You know, it's hundreds of years after that, after they came out of the land of Egypt. But he always uses that as a reference point. He says, "Which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice, and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your mighty one, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, So be it of Yahweh." And that word, so be it, that word is amen, or amen. Then Yahweh said, verse 6, "Then Yahweh said unto me, Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, Obey my voice." So a protest has been going on. A pleading has been going on, like it said in Isaiah. I'm pleading with you. I'm protesting the things that you do, but you're not listening to me. I'm rising up early in the morning. How is Yahweh rising up early in the morning? Through his prophets. He rose his prophets up early in the morning. They in the streets telling people what they're doing. They're telling them what they're doing. They're telling them, return back to Yahweh. Return, stop the madness. Stop your wrongdoings. Stop doing the things that are not right in Yahweh's eyes. Because you're breaking a covenant and you're a curse. You're staying in a cursed state because you will not obey his voice. So your state has not changed. Verse 8. Yet they obey not, nor incline their ears, but walk everyone in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. What can we say when the strap get pulled? What can you say to that disobedient child when the whooping comes? What can you say? Were you not worthy of that whooping? Yes, you were. Is a parent not justified for beating their child? Yes, they are. There's nothing you can say or do if you decide to stay in this state. Because he said, obey my voice. That's all you got to do. Obey my voice. But we choose to disobey. And we sit up here and wonder why these things happen to us. We wonder why it has to be so many deaths and fatalities in the black community. Why is it so many of our people incarcerated? Yes, it's a conspiracy against us. Yes, it is. But what about the choices that we make as far as the lewdness that we portray? And then the AIDS rate that skyrockets through our community, the disease rate. It was a little while ago, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, but they were talking about the cities that had the highest STD rate in the nation, you know, of major cities. You're talking about the top 10. They said the top three. I know Baltimore was in the top three. D.C. was in the top three. And there was a city in Virginia that was in, it was in like the top five or something like that. But most of the cities, the major cities that had the highest STD rates, had a higher percentage of black people in it. You know? And you really think, and when you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, you know, the blessings and the curses, you know, those things are true. And they came upon us. They continue to come upon us. It talks about how you have stuff going on with you, diseases that's not written now in this book. You know? AIDS didn't exist at that time. But it exists now. And we're the leaders in it, you know? Unfortunately. You know, when you think about all the health problems that we have, you know, high diabetes, high blood pressure, hypertension, and all kinds of stuff that's very prevalent in black people. Well, Yahweh said that if you would eat what I tell you to eat, I'm going to put a blessing on your food. That's what he said. I'm going to put a blessing on your food. And your kids, your women ain't going to miscarry. But you know, we choose to be in a state. We like the things that we do. We like walking in, what he says, the imagination of our evil hearts. We like that. You know? Book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, starting at verse 5. And it reads, "Thus saith Yahweh, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from Yahweh." Cursed be this man. You keep on trusting in man. You keep on going to man and trying to figure out what's the matter with you, looking for him to heal you, looking for him to make your situation better. But that's a curse. You're looking for, it said, that maketh flesh his arm. You talk about your arm, your strength. You putting your strength in man. You're cursed if you do that. According to Yahweh, that's what he said. Thus saith Yahweh. And whose heart departeth from Yahweh. So now you have all these scientists that go and they tell you all this crap the matter with you, and you're taking pills, and you're doing this, and you're doing that, when Yahweh just, hey man, eat what I tell you to eat. Work. He said, by the sweat of your brow, that's how you're going to get food, and that requires work. Put in your body the things that it needs and exercise. And I'm guilty of not exercising as much. I'm a big guy. But I shed some pounds. Anybody who know me know that. You know, I'm on that path again. And that's all he wants. Get on that path again. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. Master, what is the greatest command? First thing, Shema Yisrael. Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Hear Israel. Listen intently. Listen intelligently. For you to Shema, listen intelligently. So that way, when the preacher man is up there telling you some stuff that don't make no sense, and you reading differently, intelligently, you'll be able to say, that's incorrect. Put your heart in Yahweh. Put your faith and your trust in his word. So when they tell you something that goes against his word, I've just seen a commercial yesterday. It's called this organization. It's the Methodist Church, and they have a movement called Rethink Church, and they're talking about, basically the commercial was talking about tolerance and tolerating one another and the differences between people. Basically, they were setting it up. So look, we letting these gay folks in. Y'all got to tolerate them. Basically, is what it was about. Because that's the aspect of church that has been rethought. That people ought to rethink. The aspect that goes against what Yahweh says. The fact that you can stay a homosexual in church and nobody says anything about it, that part is rethought. Not saying gay people can't come to church and this, that, and another. Matter of fact, they're the ones that need to come to church and hear the word above all else, in hopes that that spirit gets off of them and they start getting in tune with the Most High. Because that's an abominable thing, according to the word. You know? But the fact that people will allow them to come into this sanctuary that is dedicated to the Most High, supposedly, and stay in that manner. No one is speaking and telling them that that's wrong. Well, that's a problem. And those things don't need to be rethought. So cursed are you. Let me read verse 5 again. Thus saith Yahweh, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from Yahweh. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not be, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabit it. Verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Yahweh, and whose hope Yahweh is. So blessed is that man who's trusting in Yahweh. Not man, not the flesh. And whose hope Yahweh is. Verse 8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. In other words, this tree is going to yield its fruit constantly. It doesn't have to worry about the sun parching it, burning it down. Why? It's by the riverside. It's getting nourished constantly. It's not worrying about the brutalities of this world. It being down on it. Because his trust, this person's trust, this man's trust in Yahweh. He understands that Yahweh has these provisions for him. And he's moving forward. Constantly. He's learning to accept the tribulation. He's learning to accept the judgments. And when he screws up, he can plead to Yahweh. Talk to him one-on-one. Look, Father, I know I messed up. What is it that I need to learn? Ask him what it is you need to learn. And that's something that I've learned and I'm continuing to learn. And you wait on him. And you hope, you know, when you hope, in the New Testament, when it talks about hope, it talks about an expectation. Expect Yahweh to answer you. Well, why would you expect that? Because if you believe and you trust that he is going to answer you, you should expect it. And you tell Abba, I'm waiting on an answer. If you didn't get it quick enough, I'm waiting on an answer, Abba. You tell him that. Because the Messiah gave a parable about a woman who went to an unjust judge. And basically she worried the unjust judge so much that the judge gave her what was right, gave her verdict. I don't have it in front of me, but I hope y'all understand which parable I'm talking about. Okay? He's an unjust king or an unjust judge. I'll look it up and find it for you. All right? Not right now, but on the next one, hopefully. But you have that expectation. And it talks about how we should constantly go forth to the Most High. Don't just be one and done with it. Because if you really want it, you're going to keep on going to the Most High. Waiting for an answer. Let your expectations, let your hope be in Yahweh. All right? It says, verse 8 again, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And the fact that it says it's not going to be careful in the year of drought, the drought is going to come. Troubles are going to come, and we know that. We should expect that. We ain't going to let that knock us off our high horse. Shouldn't. Because if we do, then what? Then we're back up in verse 5. It says, whose heart departed from Yahweh. We can't let these troubles knock us off our horse. You know, and that's something that Yahweh showed me very recently within me. You know, I had in my congregation, I got to thinking about a lot of stuff that I was supposed to do that I actually committed myself to doing. And I didn't do it. And then I ran into a bunch of issues, mainly marital issues, which further made me not do it. And I was talking to Abba. I said, man, Abba, I really bit off more than I could chew this time. I bit off more than I could chew. Forgive me. You know, but Yahweh provides. You know, he had people come in and handle some stuff that I was supposed to handle. So I'm really thankful. Really thankful that my father actually looks out for that. And, you know, and it's, I'm sad that I failed it, you know, failed that test. But, you know, you can't dwell on it. You have to move forward. You know, one of the things that is, you know, something else that the Most High has been teaching me lately is to move forward. That's my thing now, you know. I don't let nothing get to me anymore. You know, it's not about, you know, it's, the guy Molly Music has this song that I really like called Forward. And that's what it's talking about. He said, I'm moving forward, just one step forward. It ain't about my past, it's about my future. That's it. What's done is done. You know, we dwell too much on it. The only thing we can get from the past is experience. We learn from the past to shape our future. You know, so that's something that really the Most High has been working on me. Working on with me lately, you know, because regret is a curse. You know, you really, HaSatan torments us in so many ways. He torments us in so many ways. And the word says that we're not supposed to give place to the devil. He's not supposed to have a area within us that he can affect us to the point where he can get us unsteady. You know, the devil, submit yourself to Yahweh, submit yourself to Yah. Resist the devil, he gonna flee from you. He's supposed to be running from us, but if we constantly giving him place, The only place he gonna, the only thing, the only place he gonna run to is the next place that we then gave him. You know? So just being mindful of different ways that we are cursed. You know. But getting back to this. Verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? Verse 10. I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doing. That's who knows your heart. Yahweh knows your heart. How else can he give according to your ways? He knows your heart because he searches it to the depths of it. And he pulls that stuff up out of you that you don't even know is there. And if you don't believe me, look at the book of Job. All the stuff that he pulled up out of Job, boy, my goodness. Job didn't know it was there. To the point where he had to cover his mouth, he was so astonished. You know? But let Yahweh be true. Let him be true. Oh, I'm sorry. Book of Jeremiah. Chapter 26, starting at verse 1. Alright, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 26, verse 1, and it reads, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from Yahweh, saying, thus saith Yahweh, stand in the court of Yahweh's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in Yahweh's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto thee. Diminish thee not a word. If so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. You understand what Yahweh said? When you do evil, he purposes to do evil to you. Because this is what you've earned. All right? But he sends a person to let you know you're doing evil and evil coming. Right? Verse 4. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. Then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. And he's talking about Judah. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the cities of Judah. Right? He said, I'll make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. Verse 7. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of Yahweh. Now he's in the house of Yahweh. He's in the synagogue saying this. Verse 8. Now it came to pass. When Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that Yahweh had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Do y'all understand what happened? The word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah. He delivered the word of Yahweh to Jeremiah, to the people. And it was the priests and the prophets that led the people in snatching up another prophet and tried to put him to death. So the curse continues. Why? The words weren't being interpreted right. The priests and the prophets were supposed to say, whoa, this is a man of Yahweh speaking. We should hearken unto his words. Because at this time, Jeremiah had been around for a little while. Right? But what did they say? They interpreted as, let's read what they interpreted as. Verse 9. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of Yahweh, saying, now, first of all, they're acknowledging that he is prophesying in the name of Yahweh. They acknowledge that. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of Yahweh, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate, without an inhabitant. And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of Yahweh. When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house unto the house of Yahweh and sat down at the entry of the new gate of Yahweh's house. Then spake the priests and prophets unto the princes and all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spoke Jeremiah unto all the princes, and you hear what's going on. They're trying to kill this man for telling the truth, for telling them what Yahweh said. Verse 12, then spoke Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, Yahweh sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city and all the words that ye have heard. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of Yahweh, your mighty one. And Yahweh will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. Turn around. Stop being a cursed people. Stop doing it. Stop being a cursed people. Stop having your heart turned away from the Most High. Stop allowing these bad interpretations of the word by evil men to take you off the course that the Most High has set you on. Verse 14. As for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certainty that if you put me to death, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourself and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth Yahweh has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. If you get, matter of fact, let's just finish reading that out. Verse 16, because there's some interesting stuff that goes on later in this chapter. Verse 16, then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of Yahweh, our mighty one. Good counsel. Verse 17, then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Moreshite prophesied in the day of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. Then Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him and all to death. In other words, you have an example in your history of a prophet coming against Jerusalem, and yet in the name of Yahweh, prophesying against Jerusalem in the name of Yahweh. Now, what did they do? Is what he asks. And you're talking about Hezekiah. This is the only king that was on the lines of David. He was on par with David. Hezekiah was a bad dude. If you read about him, this was a king precious in the sight of Yahweh. Verse 19 again. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear Yahweh and besought Yahweh, and Yahweh repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. Look what they did. We have an example. Look what they did. They didn't kill the daggone man that prophesied in the name of Yahweh against Jerusalem. They didn't do that. But you're about to commit a great evil. And it was the elder who knew. The elder had to stand up and correct this evil, which unfortunately, a lot of times these days, as I said before, elders are not doing it. They want to be young. They want to be hip. They want to stay relevant. I don't know what's going on. I know what's going on with them. They want to stay young. They want to be forever 21. And they're not. They're not taking the time to bring forth knowledge to the people and showing them where they're going wrong. Right? Verse 20. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of Yahweh, Uriah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearimah, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim the king, and with all his mighty men, and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Uriah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim, the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. Now, that was just showing a contrast between two prophets who were there at the same time, prophesying the same thing. One was ready to die, one wasn't. So the Messiah said, he who seeks to save his life shall lose it. But he's going to lose his life for my sake. That one's going to be saved. One ran seeking to save his life, and he lost it. But one was ready to give his life, and he was saved. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 1. Yahweh showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of Yahweh, after that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive. You know what? Let's not even read that. Let's not even read that. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 42. And we're going to start at verse 1. And it reads, "Then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hushiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto Yahweh, your mighty one, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that Yahweh, your mighty one, may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto Yahweh, your mighty one, according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing Yahweh shall answer you, I will declare unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, Yahweh be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which Yahweh, your mighty one, shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of Yahweh, our mighty one, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us, that we may obey the voice, when we obey the voice of Yahweh, our mighty one. And this same scenario happened at the foot of that mountain. Whatever Yahweh say do, we gonna do, is what Israel said. And they saying the same thing. Verse 7, and the mountain I'm talking about is Mount Sinai. Verse 7, and it came to pass after 10 days that the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, Thus saith Yahweh, the power, the mighty one of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplications before him, if ye will stay, if ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith Yahweh, for I am with you to save you, to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you, and cause you to return to your own land. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of Yahweh your mighty one. How much I've been talking for a little over an hour. How many times have we heard that? Are you going to obey his voice or not? Do you want to be blessed or do you want to be cursed? Which one do you want? Verse 13 again. But if we say we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of Yahweh, your mighty one, saying, No, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now, therefore, hear the word of Yahweh, ye remnant of Judah. So if you decide to do that, this is about to happen to you. This is what Yahweh said. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel. If ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, Then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So it shall be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring on to them, bring upon them. Why? Because you're not listening to me. So I'm going to allow some evil to come your way. A bunch of it. Sword, famine, pestilence. And you're going to die. Period. For thus saith Yahweh, verse 18, for thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when ye shall enter into Egypt, and ye shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. Yahweh have said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. I'm telling you what Yahweh said. I'm letting you know flat out what Yahweh said, and I'm telling you, don't go down there. For you, verse 20, for you dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto Yahweh, your mighty one, saying, pray for us unto Yahweh, our mighty one, and according unto all that Yahweh, our mighty one, shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. You was lying when you said that. That's what he's saying. You ain't really mean that. But I'm telling you, if you go down in the east, your mind was made up before you even made this statement. You was just, you, all that was bull jive, monkey shine. You was soft shoeing. You was cooning when you said that. That's what you was doing. And I'm telling you that Yahweh said, don't go down there. Because if you do, you're going to die. Verse 21. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of Yahweh, your mighty one, nor anything for the which he has sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn. In other words, when you take your butt down to Egypt, all the stuff I told you is going to happen to you. Because that was your desire. It said Yahweh searches the heart, even the reins of it. He knows what you want. He knows your desires. And he knows when you give him that monkey shine. He know it. So, read a couple more things. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. And these are the answers to that question. Are we a cursed people? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yahweh, your mighty one, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of Yahweh, your mighty one, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live. that you may love Yahweh, your mighty one, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which I will swear unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So are we a cursed people? Yes, we are a cursed people. Because we choose to be cursed. We choose not to obey the Mighty One. We choose not to obey Yahweh. So we choose to be cursed. So now the question is, do we have to be cursed people? No, we don't. We don't. He then told us, obey my voice and I will repent from the evil that I have done and the evil that I think to do to you. That's all I want for you. It's just to listen to me. I'm not telling you anything wrong. That's all I want. Length of days for you. Blessings for you. That's all I want. So if we choose to stay cursed, and believe me, it's an individual choice. Because we've read about that remnant. All right? It was a couple of passages that I didn't get into, but he separated folks while they was together. The folks that obeyed him caught some blessings. The ones that didn't, well, not so much. But that was their choice. Because we were commanded to choose life, choose the blessings. So if we disobey, we get the curses. We're going to close out with 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, everybody's favorite. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. And will heal their land. Verse 15. Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Okay?